session number 20384, Reel 2.
Session number 448, Mr. Kenneth Chia Jainem, Reel 2.
Then I was asked to patrol around the area and to keep an eye whether there were any Japanese around or whether any Japanese plane flying around, and whether there were communist activities going on around, and even people giving false information.
What kind of false information or communist activities were you looking for?
Well, just like someone may ask you something, someone may ask you something, then you tell them something, then that thing will go to someone else, and there may be some communist activities people around there, and convey the message. Then at that time, the Japanese were very close by to Singapore already.
What kind of communist activities were you expecting, or were you?
Well, just give those who work hand in hand with the Japanese, you see, because some people are very close associates with Japanese in Singapore, so they may pass on information. Then the information we pass to the person, then the person may use some sort of a wireless set to transfer information again, you see.
If you were to discover anyone doing that, who would you have to report to?
Well, I have to go directly to the police station and give the information.
Were there ever such incidents happening?
No.
During the period of war in Singapore, as an ARP member, did you come across any incidents or any heavy casualties in your area when you were on duty?
No. It's a very safe area. No.
How long were you performing your duties as an ARP member before the fall of Singapore?
Well, we have to patrol 8 hours duty. 8 hours duty.
How long did you continue to do your duties?
Until the war is over. Until the war is over.
Throughout this period, anything happened in your area, like heavy bombings or fightings in Bukit Timah area?
Oh, bombing, yes. Mm-hmm. Bombing, yes. My father's own house is being bombed and caught by fire. My parents' house.
When such a thing happened, what would an ARP member do?
Well, we try to use fire extinguishers, and then if it can't work out, we have to use rubber hose put on the tap. Wherever possible, we try to save. We try to get something to save fire from burning. But at that time, they were all at tap houses, no chance. Once it's in flames, no chance. It spreads very fast.
Did all of you have enough manpower to help around when there's heavy bombing?
Well, even the civilians will help. Even the public will help. The public will help. Because involved in their properties.
Were there a lot of damages in this area?
No, not very much. Not very much damage.
Any civilian casualties?
Yes, but not severe. Not severe. I mean, they are hit by splinters. Splinter.
When the person was injured, would you have to do first aid for the person?
Yes. We even have got stretchers.
And who will be responsible for sending them to the doctors or hospitals?
Well, they have got doctors standby also at the police post.
when would you do your duties as an ARP member? Because you are still working, you were still working in the daytime.
But night, I'm performing night duties.
When did you stop going to work?
Well, I still go to work because my duties go in the night. You see? Then I start to work in the morning. And in between times, of course, we have got colleagues in shifts. Say you sleep 1 hour, I sleep 1 hour, and it goes in rotation. Of course, during the night, we must have a little sleep, you see. We cannot work all throughout.
How did you feel all this while when you were performing your duties and even when you're working regarding the war situation in Singapore?
Well, I enjoyed the work very much. You see, I enjoyed the work very much because we are more or less doing a good deed to those people.
What were your feelings at that time about the outcome of the war?
Well, my feeling is that I hope that Singapore will not be involved in it, that's all.
But since Singapore was already
involved,
so how did you feel about the outcome?
Well, I feel very sad. I feel very sad.
At that time, did you think that Singapore would fall to the Japanese?
Well, once I heard that they have gone, landed in Malay Peninsula, I say it's finished. It's finished. They came in Singapore February the 14th, you know. February the 13th, 1942. They were in already from the causeway.
Did you have hope that the British would win the war against the Japanese?
Oh yes, to be frank, that I always talk among with my colleagues. I say we only hope that the British will come back. But someday they will come back.
Before Singapore fell, you were working on the air base, and based on your observation of what was going on in the air base, did you think that Singapore could hold out the Japanese invasion?
Well, at the time I was in the air base, I have really got no confidence with these Air Force people because they take things so lightly that even they are not very attentive in performing their duties. They will just keep on drinking, talking, joking around with their colleagues. The time when they hear Japanese plane coming only, they start to be panicked. And when the plane landed on the airfield, they start running away, hiding themselves in the shelter. Actually, they take things very lightly. Very, very lightly.
How long did you continue to go to work at the Tengah Air Base?
I continued to work until February the 10th. Until February the 10th, when the Air Force people say no more civilians are allowed to come in.
Why was that order given?
In February the 10th.
Why was it given?
Because they say the Japanese are coming in already.
Did you still report to your office even though you could go to the airbase?
Yeah.
Where was your office?
My office was at Petain Road. You know? Petain Road.
What were you doing in your office after February the 10th?
Well, just to see what is the outstanding work, then what are the quantities we have to work out, have to claim back from the Air Force.
Were there still a lot of people working at that time?
Well, only about 5 or 6 of us.
During that period, did you see a lot of refugees in Singapore?
No refugees.
Did you know of people trying to move away from their own houses to another place?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Bukit Timah side, those staying in the kampong, they try to move from that place. You see? But unfortunately, they could not be quick enough. And the Japanese have come in already. So horrible things happen. Horrible things happen in the kampong.
Was there heavy fighting in Bukit Timah area?
No. They just come in very, very plainly only.
Which part of Bukit Timah were you staying?
I'm at the 7th mile, 7 3/4 miles.
What kind of horrible things happened in Bukit Timah that you mentioned?
Well, raping going on. Mm. Raping going on.
What about any killings or?
Well, killings, yes. Killing, yes.
Did you see any fighting between the Japanese and the British Army in that area?
No.
Do you remember when the Japanese came into Bukit Timah area?
February the 14th, 1942. February the 14th.
Do you know whether there were people trying to evacuate from Singapore itself to another country?
Oh yes. That is Six months before the Japanese came in, some of them went to India, some of them went to Australia. Wherever first ship they get, they move off.
Did your family make plans for evacuation from Singapore?
No.
What about storing up food?
Yes.
Provisions?
Yes. Storing up food, yes.
What was the situation like? Were there a lot of people trying to buy things and store them up?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is before the Japanese come in. And the prices saw up. The prices saw up with no limited, no fixed price. Black market, in other words, profiteering going on.
What kind of food would you normally store up?
Well, rice, canned food.
When the Japanese came into Bukit Timah area, did you know where did they station themselves?
Well, actually they don't station themselves anywhere. You know, they just move around in the kampong, see? And they go into houses, and they do very sorrowful things, very, very sorrowful things. Even some of them the young girls are being done to death. Mm. It's a very awful and a very sorrowful scene.
Were there a lot of such incidents?
Yes.
Did you see any of these Japanese yourself?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
How did they look like?
Well, they look very rugged. They look very rugged and very filthy. Some of them even have got beard, long hairs.
Besides the treatment of the woman, how did they treat the other people?
Oh, just like, yeah, I mean, just like animals.
Did they come to your family, to your house?
No, my family already moved off. My family already moved off to Upper Serangoon.
When did all of you move off?
They moved off 4 months before the Japanese coming in.
What about yourself?
I was still there.
Were you the only one there?
Yeah, because I'm a bachelor. I was a bachelor.
So did the Japanese come to your house?
Our house is burned down. It's burned down. And my parents lost a lot of money, you know. That time he doesn't keep money in the bank, keep on the attic. Then my mother, big jewelries, all gone. Burned down by the fire. I think you know the place where, no? You know, one place you turn up to Jurong. Just opposite Jurong, there's a small bridge. And there's the house there. Now it's a restaurant. And that house has got 12 rooms, upstairs and downstairs. Very big house.
So where did you stay after your house was burned down?
Well, my parents and my people all moved to Upper Serangoon. Stay in a kampong. And that place is a safe place.
A relative's place?
Yeah.
What about yourself? Where did you? Who did you stay with?
I stay at Pitain Road, my boss house.
Did you go back to Bukit Timah area?
Yes, yes.
Where did you stay in Bukit Timah area?
I'm staying with my cousin. My cousin is staying there.
When the Japanese came to that area, did they go to your cousin's place?
We were all out already from that area. We were all out from that area. I mean, my auntie is all out from that area. All staying with my parents in a kampong at Upper Serangoon.
What about yourself?
Myself, I'm bachelor. I come down back to my boss house to stay at Pitain Road.
So by the time the Japanese came to the area, you were already out also?
I'm out also.
How did you know of the British surrender?
Yes, I heard of it. I heard of it because of the bomb in Hiroshima, the atomic bomb. Then after hearing that, only say about 1 week later, I heard that the Japanese surrendered back Singapore to the British.
What about the British surrender to the Japanese? Did you hear of that?
Oh, yes. Yes. They signed the treaty at the Ford Company, Bukit Timah.
How did you hear of this news?
Well, of course, words have been going round, you see. Words have been going round.
How did you feel when you heard that the British had surrendered?
British surrendered to Japanese. Well, I was thinking that things should go normal. Things should go normal. So nothing bad will come in, you see. Then after a while, suddenly things became very bad. They start catching people. They bring people to concentration camp. They bring people to some places to shoot them, kill them.
Did you hear of what happened to the women folk in Bukit Timah village after you heard that they had surrendered or before that?
Well, before that, there was nothing much of a say. And when the Japanese came in and surrendered, well, the mostly I hear is about these young girls are being raped by these Japanese soldiers, and even some women are being raped by the Japanese.
After you have heard that the British had surrendered?
Yes, yes.
Then you hear about these things?
Yes, yes.
At that time, after hearing all this news, What did you expect of the Japanese occupation?
I don't respect them at all. I call them animals. Yes. I call them animals.
Did you expect the Japanese to... earlier you mentioned that some of them were being rounded up. Did you expect the Japanese to do that at that time, before all of you were being rounded up?
Well, before we were rounded up, there is always a hearsay from respected people that they will give us a job to do, whatever it is. But we don't expect that we will be put in a concentration camp.
What did you do on the first few days after the fall of Singapore?
Well, actually, I did nothing. I did nothing.
Were you still staying at Petain Road?
Yes, still staying there.
Did you find out what happened to the rest of your family's members and what they were doing?
Well, I knew that they had moved up to Upper Serangoon Road, and they were quite happy and quite safe over that area.
Where were you sent to for your concentration camp?
Telok Kurau English School. I was together with my works manager.
How were you asked to go to the concentration camp?
Well, we were rounded up and call us to fall in a line, then call us to march up. They call us to follow them, you see? So we don't know where we were to be brought to. Then in the end we followed the Japanese soldiers, then we were put in the concentration in Telok Kurau English School.
Who came to look for you to round
the
up
Japanese,
all of you?
The Japanese.
At the Petain Road?
Yeah, the Japanese. They give warnings that everybody must leave the house and march together with them.
Did they tell you why?
No, they didn't. They didn't.
Did they give instructions as to what you must bring? Or?
No, nothing. And we brought nothing. Only our clothing on the body.
How many came to your boss, your manager's house, to call all of you out?
There were about half a dozen Japanese.
Came to your manager's house?
No, they went over to that area to call every one of us to come, go out. Men. Only men.
Where did all of you line up before you went to...
We were lining up on Petain Road itself. Then from there we march off.
How many of you at that time do you remember?
Our colleague along Petain Road is around 100. Around 100. And some of them go over to Arab Street. Some of us go to Telok Kurau. They distribute places.
Hundred odd of you were lining up at Petain Road, marching
That's
off.
Right, to Telok Kurau.
Half went to Arab Street. So, ultimately, only 50 odd of you went to Telok Kurau.
Yes.
Did any other people join you on the way there?
Yes, the football stadium site again. You know, the Jalan Besar football stadium site, all those areas.
Did any people join your group to Telok Kurau?
Yes.
Where were they from?
Also opposite side of the road.
Which road?
Just you know, the football stadium, Jalan Besar football stadium.
The residents from those areas?
That's right.
They will march out the same way as...
Some of them are split off also to Arab Street.
Besides Petain Road and Arab, and the other street, which other area did the Japanese get the people to... Round them up.
Well, so far I know that it is our area and the opposite area, and the rest I don't know from where.
Oh, you know, do you remember how many people went to Turok Kurau?
I think the Turok Kurau school field is a very big field, you know, a few thousand people, you know, and we were not given even water to drink. We were in the concentration camp for about 4 days. We don't even get a drop of water to drink.
Of the few thousand people, how many were from your area?
Well, from my area is about 50 to 100 only, that's all. Then the rest are all from other places joining.
Like which places?
Lavender Street side, Geylang side.
When all of you were marched to the Turok Kurau English School, do you remember which route did you take?
Well, we took the route from Geylang side, then go into Joo Chiat. Then from Joo Chiat, then the Turok Kurau School.
During all this time when you were marching, were there people? Were the Japanese guards
yes.
following all of you?
Yes, yes, they are.
How many of them?
About 6 of them.
Throughout this whole time, there were only 100 odd of you marching, or did the number increase?
The number increased as we go in, the queue is being joined in along the route.
Up to how many people?
Well, I should say around 2,000. Around 2,000. Then some other places come in and join, so that makes a couple of thousand. The full school field is all being packed up.
All these people join you when you were on marching on your
that's
way
right, that's
from
right.
Geylang area
that's
and
right.
all that.
And they find anybody walking around, they just pull him in to join.